Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday. Are you hearing an echo?
I can hear that you can hear an echo.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's very faint for me, but I can hear that you're probably hearing it.
Okay, well, I think
it's not
I
a distraction
it.
On this side.
Here we go.
Okay.
So our assignment from yesterday. Before a fair amount of introspection reveals something different, we believe that we are a single unified entity. I'm me. I am me. I think my thoughts and feel my feelings. Upon closer examination, we begin to notice that there is more than one I making up me. Review the conversation you jotted down about this issue and begin to identify the various I's having the conversation. One way to do this is to group similar statements. Find a word or phrase that describes each I. It's likely to be a quality or characteristic. RL, what you see. Example, the voices. It's fun to eat out, relax, enjoy your life. Oh, I can just taste it melting in my mouth. Nobody can eat healthy food all the time. I'm just going to have to get something on the road. It's not going to be healthy, but oh well, that's just the way it goes. If I just get organized enough, I can have food to carry on that road trip. I love the way I feel when I make healthy choices. I wish I could always eat that way. The eyes, social butterfly. It's fun to eat out. Relax. Enjoy your life. Gourmand. Oh, I can just taste it melting in my mouth. Rationalizer. Nobody can eat healthy food all the time. Resigned. I'm just going to have to get something on the road. It's not going to be healthy, but oh well, that's just the way it goes. Planner. If I just get organized enough, I can have food to carry on that road trip. Healthy. I love the way I feel when I make healthy choices. I wish I could always eat that way. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
Hello, Catherine. What are you seeing?
Hey. Well, I'm seeing,
well.
I'm seeing quite a few things. I'm seeing there's a real battering cycle with eating. And just a lot of self-hate around it. At the end of the day, that there's this feeling that of failure around food in some way or the other. And but there does seem to be a kind of I don't want to call her the nutritionist personality, but there is somebody who really wants to eat healthfully, wants to take care of the body. You know, I don't know if that's a sub-personality or that's authenticity, just, you know, wanting self-care or wanting to help the human. I'm not real clear on the players yet.
But this one does seem to want to take care of the human, take care of the body, definitely get to the end of the day and not have it result in a beating for the choices that were made that she wouldn't have made.
Right, right. And the process is really kind of a belief and assumption, a belief there that I hadn't really seen before, is that if I deprive myself of the food, so that's the framing of conditioning, it's deprivation.
Mm-hmm.
If I want some food, particular food that's not good for me, or maybe I'm not even hungry, the body doesn't want food, but I want it. There's this addictive thing going on.
Well,
and go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. No, finish up.
Well, I was just going to say, if I say, no, I'm not going to have the food, then the belief is, I'm going to be really miserable and feel deprived and kind of live in this tension of wanting it but not letting myself have it, wanting it but not letting myself have it, and just this constant, tension. I guess I want to call it tension. And what I saw was, I can just get out of that conversation entirely. You know?
Yes, because the alternative to that is eat it and get a beating.
Yes.
Right? So it's either deprivation or a beating. Those are the two choices that ego gives you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And and then there's kind of a binge eater that comes in. And distraction is part of it, just eating while distracted.
Yeah, so eat while you read or eat while you watch something or eat while that sort of thing, yeah. And Catherine, we can see as you describe it, and I can only picture us all nodding, okay, as you're describing this, as you're laying this out, because we all know these places, how desperately we need an unconditionally loving parent.
Yes.
Right? Which the mentor could fill in as, right? But we really do need somebody who is disidentified from this mess, who can make choices from center, right?
Yeah.
Choices that take care of the body, let the person feel loved and nourished and not beaten.
Yeah. Yeah, this morning I was recording and listening, and what I saw is that I actually don't often know when I'm hungry,
mm-hmm.
and what the body wants,
mm-hmm.
With that. And so the recording was, the mentor's response was, well, you know, we can explore this. So we can find ways to, we can get centered, and we can look at different ways of finding out what the body wants and how much,
mm-hmm.
you know, experiment with, you know, and write mm-hmm. it down. Okay, I mm-hmm. ate a cup of this for
mm-hmm.
lunch, and was I hungry an hour later or was I not? And just kind of know.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, here I am at this advanced stage of life, and I don't really know. What are
Yes, exactly. That's what we get to, right? So I've been alive this long, and I don't know the answers to kind of basic questions. And the other thing that you said that you started us off with that I want to underline, which is that whole deprivation thing. You know, ego will, one of the things we talk about in practice a lot is how ego will use aspects of the personality against us. So ego will masquerade as a deprived child in order to get somebody to eat something that, but it's
mm-hmm.
not just eat something that's not good, right? Well, but I'll feel so deprived if I don't have candy every day, okay? That's not a child. A child doesn't live in that world of I'll be deprived, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I want it. I want whatever it is, but it deprived is comes way later in
mm-hmm.
the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to realize that same deprivation scam is one that ego is using a lot with a lot of different content. So if ego doesn't get exactly what it wants when it wants it, it plays the deprived card, and people
mm-hmm.
are trained to listen to the other side of ego's pal, and go, oh, yeah, well, now that's really unfair. And so give ego whatever ego wants, which,
mm-hmm.
as you notice, then results in a beating because the whole thing is a spiritual, psychological, mental game that's
mm-hmm.
being played with different content, food
mm-hmm.
being a huge one for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 All right. Well,
okay.
good kudos for the scientist who wants to find out what really do the experiments and pay attention and see what's what and reveal all of this subterfuge. Very good.
Well, thank you.
All right.
I'm so
thank you,
grateful
Catherine.
For that. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Me too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Catherine. Sure, what was occurring to me around that is simply that with every content that we explore, the process of ego becomes so much clearer.
Yes, exactly.
In other words, the conversation with Catherine was such an embodiment of, okay, well, here's what's going on. Here's how I'm being controlled. And here's how I exit that place of being caught in the cycle of deprivation versus beating and choices. I mean, Catherine said it so well, I just exit the conversation. Because otherwise, there's no ability to be present to the moment and know what the body wants in the moment. Everything about solving this problem about food or knowing what I'm going to eat is such an abstraction. And so we never can solve the problem in the ego process anyway.
Mm-hmm. Which really argues for the scientific approach, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, where do I look for the information is the only thing that's changing.
Yes, because I can't trust the conversation in my head. So let me find out. Let's find out. Let's break this down, take it apart, and let's find out. Let's find out for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Nancy.
Well, hello, Nancy. What are you seeing?
Well, I'm really liking the scientific approach because I've been looking at how I go unconscious. And this morning, as I meditated, I saw it very clearly when all of a sudden I saw that I had reached for the phone during my meditation to see what time it was, how much longer, probably. And I thought, okay,
when is
this going to
be over?
But there were no voices. It was just like, snap, there it was. I'm going, ooh, who did that? And why? Well, you know, probably I know why conditioning wanted to be over. But then I saw, well, this is what I've been looking at since the beginning of the year, and that's how do I go unconscious, especially around food? And all of a sudden, I'm eating, and I don't hear any voices. It's like just this. I'm reaching for the food, and I'll hear the voices afterwards.
Right. Oh, they have a lot to say afterwards.
Oh yeah, it's like, oh, how could you do that? You know, I mean, here you've been eating healthy, blah 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 blah, and what are you doing? So, I'm wondering if. Because, you know, I've been practicing, if the voices were there ahead of time, I would see them for what they were. This is just a theory. I don't know this to be true. But if I heard the voices, it would be like, okay, those are voices. I don't have to act. And then I'd probably go through the, you know, the feeling of deprivation or whatever, you know, back and forth. But that just doesn't happen. It's just like I'm there. It's in my mouth, you know. And so this whole year I have been looking how I can be focused and attentive, you know, to change the behavior. And I'm just wondering, though, if conditioning is kind of bypassing the voices just to sneak in and just,
well,
you know,
yes,
going
yes,
down my path.
and certainly – distracting you, right? Go ahead.
Feels more like an unconscious behavior.
Yes, it does seem that way because you're and this is kind of obvious with unconscious behavior, but you're not there, right? So you don't actually, the distraction is subtle enough, and it's kind of, it's where people get with music, okay? People get so accustomed to music playing all the time in everywhere they are that they don't hear it, right?
Right.
The mind just shuts it out, and that's where that conversation is living. So here's my best encouragement. Did you follow that? That in the same way, it has just been tuned out. It's just under the level of conscious awareness that there's not a consciousness of unconsciousness. And so what this is doing is letting you see that, which is a very, very, very good thing. And so to me, the approach is not, I mean, you'll see it with food, but you want to start seeing it everywhere. And the way around it is not bringing conscious awareness to a subject, but bringing conscious awareness to each moment. So when you walk across the room, realizing I'm walking across the room.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I'm sitting down. I'm reaching for the pan. I'm putting on my shoes.
I wonder if I should just say that out loud.
You could. Yeah, you could.
That went on to myself.
if you're by yourself and you can do it, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's like talking to the mentor or having the mentor talk to you. Okay?
Right.
It's just you're doing it out loud. So the because that relationship is going on. It's just that there isn't awareness of it. That's the relationship that has been obscured by the drone of whatever is going on. So instead of I'm putting on my shoes, I'm already in the car driving to wherever it is that I'm going to do whatever it is that I'm going to do.
Right.
And then when I'm in the car driving, I'm already there doing whatever I'm doing. Then when I'm there doing whatever it is that I'm doing, the mind is on the next thing or reviewing something, right? So it's aligning where I am with attention.
Right. No, that sounds good. I know I have done, I've done that exercise, and I see the difference because you said when I'm there, because this is what I've been trying to do this whole year, is to focus on on every moment to change the behavior, and when I'm there, it feels so different than when I'm just rotely doing something and I find myself in the car and then I'm at the place and and it's like I
have a sandwich
on right
and who made that exactly
right. And did you even taste it? No.
Yes. And that it's key, Nancy, because that's the essence of the bamboozle. We're told that we're present, we believe that we're present, we aren't.
Yeah.
And that's what you're closing in on. And it is the behaviors that drive us to awareness, right? Because I realize I have, with something like food, I don't know what's going on. I don't seem to be able to do anything about it. This is bad. It's kind of like realizing I think I'm addicted to drugs. Okay, then that will catch our attention such that, all right, I really need to focus on being present all the time because there's a lot going on that I'm not aware of, and that's where the damage is being done.
Yes, and there will be no behavior change until I can see that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, goodness. Well, all right.
Let us know.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks, Nancy.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Nancy. Wow, that was one of the most fascinating conversations ever, you know, Sherry, because it is so, if I've lost awareness of awareness, then there's mm-hmm. just no way, then I'm completely controlled. And yeah. so that practice of how is it that I am no longer present in those situations, there's actually no other way to do it rather than be present in every moment.
That's right.
And that.
Go ahead.
Right. Well, the suggestion to bring awareness consciously to every moment is in itself a process, and that
yes.
it's a process behavior change, not a content behavior change, which is just, it's true in all cases, but especially in those cases where we have no awareness of our unconsciousness.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And it is for that reason that the bedrock of this practice is on eliminating self-hatred.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because yeah. until we do that, and I don't mean until it never arises in a person's life again, but just until there's a good, clear understanding of what it is and how it is the problem, not the solution, we're going to be trapped in that loop.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Eliminating self-hatred, because if we were there, that would not be our choice. But not
That's
being
exactly
there
right.
is not our choice. It's
That's
just
exactly
simply
right.
what happened.
Yes, and then we allow a beating for it, which is what keeps us from realizing what's going on. And so mm-hmm. the cycle mm-hmm. just repeats. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Catherine said it was the battering cycle.
It's the battering
cycle. If we
battering.
Eliminate
yes.
the self-hate, then there's a way in which we can bring attention to the process, the whole process,
That's
not
right.
just waking up and realizing I was unconscious, resulting in me being blamed for my unconsciousness.
That's right. Well, and you said it. We will have awareness of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the freedom is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Hello?
Hi, it's Ramita. I was muted.
muted.
Yes, with
Hello.
My mouth full, I'm eating.
Ah.
Hello.
Yeah, yeah, lunchtime for a lot of folks, huh?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I am seeing so many different dimensions. I've always known that food, the subject of food, was convoluted and had a lot of dimensions, but boy, they are prolific. And all these different beliefs and assumptions. One that came up that really, it goes back to what you were saying about deprivation earlier, that there's this belief that if I, let's see, on one hand, I anticipate a lack or scarcity in the future, and that justifies indulging immediate gratification.
Yeah. 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 Yes.
And go ahead.
Well, just to make a connection, that's how a lot of people fall for dessert.
Yep.
Wow, but, you know, when are you going to have something like this again? So, you better have it and enjoy it now while it's here in front of you, because you may never have another opportunity.
Exactly. And I don't want to miss out. There's also a sense of fear of emptiness, fear of hunger. I mean, I've never had that experience. It feels like something very, very old and deep, but a fear that I might be hungry and I won't be able to handle that.
Ooh, well, now that sounds like one of those really good scientific experiments, doesn't it?
Yes.
Just to find out. Well, is that
yes.
true? Is that not true? Well, I think I'll miss a meal here and just see what happens. I think I'll wait, do a little experiment where I'll wait until I'm actually hungry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, Ramita, one of the things that fascinates me about that is that, you know, as privileged Americans or privileged people all over the world, we have so many choices about food. And so the way we approach food often is, well, what am I hungry for? Not what does the body want, but what am I hungry for? And that's what we base our choice on, right? But when a person is really hungry, they don't do that. That person is really interested in eating. Right? And I just offer that to you as a fun piece of that experiment. You know, if you wait until you're actually hungry, and not I'm not talking about just shoving whatever is in front of you in your face because you think you're starving to death, but really getting to that place of, no, the body is really ready to eat. Now, what does the body want?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the opportunity for me right now to to practice with that. And I've had a lot of opportunities in the past. I mean, I've done different kinds of cleansing fasts and modified diets of this sort and that. But this, and I have evidence that I'm adequate and that it doesn't hurt to be hungry. It's stronger. The conversation draws my attention so insistently that I'll do another experiment.
You can suspect a manipulation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The same way the child is in the grocery store, but I'm hungry, but I'm hungry, but I'm hungry, but I'm hungry. Right? And so with an eye on that candy bar.
Yeah. And it goes back to, you know, whether it's dessert or a very, you know, as a ENEA type 5, there's a tendency towards scarcity and avariciousness. You know, there's not enough. There's not enough to go around. And if I don't get mine now, it's not going to be available down the line. So, you know, and flavors of these patterns showing up, as we've been saying, over all of the sessions and just getting a little bit more honed and some little bit more detail to these eyes and their worldviews.
How the eyes show up in their language in the content, but how that process turns up then under in another situation, and what are they saying now? What is that process of, oh, just relax and enjoy your life, you're so uptight? How does that show up across the board? Or, you know, well, if I were just, or if you were just more organized, you could, how does that show up across the various content?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, that's good, isn't it?
It's really good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ramita.
Thanks, Ramita. You know, Sherry, that would be such a fun thing to do at the end of the year, is basically put all your sub-personalities together with what their language is and their beliefs are about every piece of content.
Yeah, I just saw that when I heard it, too.
because
as the content changes, the process is the same. You know, the deprivation person is always going to be focused on that. But you got to say something different when it's food versus relationship, right? Because otherwise it's gonna sound funny. But the impetus is the same.
Right, the process is the same. Because if you think about every aspect of the personality as an aspect of ego, then the process of ego in each aspect is the same. And that's an interesting way to parse it.
It makes it seem clear that we don't actually have 1,500 aspects of the personality, right? Mm-hmm. But we have a more limited number who can speak to different, speak in different language depending on the circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so much more in that conversation I wanted to reflect, but it looks like we're at the end of our time. So our assignment for today, our definition of a subpersonality or aspect of ego is a collection of beliefs and assumptions and projections with a unique worldview and distinct language. Assignment. Take each of the descriptors from the previous assignment and begin to flesh out each I such that you can recognize each as a distinct personality. Write down the language each uses, what they project onto others, the world, and you, and from that get a sense of each personality's worldview. Record and listen to what you see. As you work with this, make sure you stay on topic, confining the exploration to the specifics of what you're looking at this month. Example, social butterfly's worldview is that life is meant to be enjoyed. Health is important, but not at the expense of having fun.
See what we're up against.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Take care. Go happy.
Mm-hmm.